Mark in the Morning comes to you from the studios of 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. In Southern California, hear it happen live without a net from 6 to 10 a.m. weekdays on 100.3 FM.
So loving all this warmer weather that's finally upon us. And you know what it means? It means it's time for some spring cleaning. You could spruce up that yard, spruce up the house. We put in even more flowers over the weekend. It's awesome. They're mostly red, orange, and yellow. But if you really want a fresh start, you got to do what I did. You got to get a Casper. It's one perfect mattress that'll help you wake up feeling refreshed, ready to enjoy all this beautiful weather. And the mattress is perfect. It's not too firm. It's not too soft. It's just right. I feel like Gina Locks right now. It is really a great mattress. It's engineered with two high-tech foams for supportive comfort that guarantees a great night's sleep, and the mattress ships free in a surprisingly compact box, so it's incredibly easy to get to your bedroom. I love my Casper. I know you're going to love it too. Just try it. Just try it. That's all you got to do. You can even try it for 100 nights in your own home with free shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com and use code Gina, G-I-N-A, for $50 toward the purchase of your mattress. That's Casper.com, code Gina, for $50 toward the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com, terms and conditions apply.
Yeah.
1 second, Mark. Did you hear the first actual word that made it into that song?
No.
Okay.
Tear the roof? This is not dirty.
Are you sure?
I already dumped the what I thought was the MF word.
I heard it too. Okay, I gotta hear it again.
I won't check it, but I'm pretty sure it's clear. Let's go here.
Say you will, say you
will. Oh, yeah.
Won't.
This is good, but it doesn't sound as much like Uncle Joe.
All right, so today, Sal Cerencioni runs us down the world of classic rock news. 5 seconds for...
Five.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, back to five, back to five.
All right, 5 seconds, $5. Three reasons today doesn't suck. The top 20 richest actresses. Ooh. Now, there's two things. First of all, there's some names that I had never heard of. And I said one of them yesterday. Gina immediately knew who I was talking about. But there's some names you're not going to recognize. And the second observation is, bitches are making some coin. I mean, wait till you hear. I'll run it down for you.
Sisters are doing it for themselves, Mark.
Now, today we're all about prom. This is prom season. So we're interested in, first of all, we're all going to play the prom themes that we experienced in our high school. But we also want to hear your prom horror stories. Your prom blew up. We want to know why. And most interestingly, we have a guest today, an in-studio guest that we didn't have until like last night at 8. I'll explain why that is on the other side of the police. This is Mark in the Morning. Man, you know, when commercials or songs are playing, we're sitting in here, we're just chatting. It is so interesting. Take a guess. Mikey cleaned out his coffee maker. I can't wait to hear that story, Mikey. Go ahead.
I put the chemicals in and it cleaned it out from the inside, the pot and everything. My coffee was amazing.
That's so good. Thanks.
Yeah. You're just jealous.
That's appointment listening.
So last night, we're sitting out back as we do every single night. We're having some wine. I'm having a cigar. We're watching Steve Harvey on Family Feud. It's just good. And so Linda, she spends her entire life, day and night, trying to get our Labrador Red to take a crap. And he won't. So she goes out the gate and takes him to the front yard. She then comes back about 15 minutes and she says, Rusty Wallace is going to be on your show tomorrow.
Oh.
Rusty is a NASCAR Hall of Fame driver. He is my next door neighbor. She went out with Red, and Rusty was checking his mail. So they were chatting, and he said, there's something huge happening in NASCAR this weekend. Now, I don't know what that is, so one of our NASCAR buddies will need to call us up and tell us what's going on. But Rusty will be in the room at 8:30.
Sweet.
So you'll have a chance to, in fact, here's Linda right here. You'll have a chance to, if you want to call and ask Rusty Wallace any kind of question, he's a great dude. The favorite thing I've ever said to him, I said, so Rusty, do you enjoy a cigar? And he goes, no, I've never smoked a cigar. And I said, do you drink? He goes, I drink a lot. So, Linda, exactly how did this happen last night?
Red and I were out in the front yard, and Rusty was getting his mail. And so I asked him, because I knew there was a big race coming up, and it's here in Charlotte. It's called the All-Star Race. And I was talking to him about the weather, because the weather here is not very good. And then he goes, oh, I've got a great story about that. And I went, great. Marcus, see you tomorrow at 8:30.
Nice.
And he said, okay.
All right, if somebody has details on this All-Star Race, I'd love to hear it. But Rusty Wallace in the room at 8:30, so be here first. Now, this is, it's a quote. It's in quotations. Eric Clapton, the rock legend, says he, quote, might be saying goodbye after the release of his new album, I Still Do, which is set for release on Friday.
No.
What's the need to just stop doing it? I mean, you could occasionally do a show or occasionally record an album, but he said, quote, I might be saying goodbye.
Well, he doesn't seem like a publicity hog. He never has been, you know, so it's like sometimes they say that just to stir up controversy before the album release, but maybe he's just tired. Maybe it's just time to, you know, get a hobby, do some fishing, and live the rest of his life quietly.
That's right, because I read the interview, and he said that he works so hard to just be relaxed now that he doesn't feel like he should have to go on tour. He wants to stop before somebody tells him to stop going on tour.
There
like,
you
that's,
have it.
Like, you know, enough. Which sucks.
Linda, come back. I've never met him. I've enjoyed his music. But you know what? If he needs to step away, then step away. Mm. God love you. All right. So my wife, Linda, is she likes to be in control. Mm-hmm. And as a result, all these many years that I drive her around, it's tough because she's driving the car from the passenger seat.
Because you cannot drive.
I can drive perfectly. It's because you're not in control. So every time I would drive her, I wind up pissed off because she's bitching at me and I don't want to hear it. And so I just said, you're driving from now on. And it has fixed all ills. I just sit in the passenger seat. She drives the car.
Yep.
And we're good. And there's no bitching. I'm not pissed off. It's all good.
There's Linda driving her old man husband around.
So
you're a terrible driver. You're
I am
awful.
Not. No,
it's
I'm not.
It's terrifying.
Your daughter, Katie, jumping in.
No. You're bad.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
So Linda drives now. So this weekend, we go to a really good restaurant on the lake and we eat. And Linda has a glass of wine. So we go out into the parking lot and I start walking to the passenger side. She goes, nope, I had a glass of wine. You have to drive. Mm-hmm. I crap you not. I am sitting in the driver's seat. We're still in the parking space. The car is cranked, but we haven't moved. And here's Linda. There's a car coming. We haven't even moved yet.
Oh, my God.
And it already started. Oh, am I lying?
No, it's true, though. There was a car coming, and you weren't looking.
My God.
How do you know? I was sitting right there. I can see what you can see, your drunk ass. Good God.
You know what Linda needs?
What?
You need to install, like in driver's ed cars, they have brake pedals on the passenger side so she can help out.
I would pull over and let her out if she had her own brakes where she can control me. All right, let's just say this. George Zimmerman, you remember the story, gun that he shot Trevor Martin with.
Trayvon
was going to be up on auction, and they pulled it.
Right.
Well, he sold it. $120,000. And saying the winning bidder did not want to be identified.
Shocking.
Why would somebody want that?
Well, according to Zimmerman, the Smithsonian reached out to him, which I find that very hard to believe. But there are some people out there who like memorabilia, no matter how bad taste it is.
We'll slice off some business. On the other side, a Florida woman got herself arrested at a Walmart because she picked up a whole bunch of sex toys and said she was just too lazy to pay for them, and she walked out. Details in 5. This is Mark in the Morning.
Down in Florida.
A Florida woman got herself hot and bothered enough to hit the sex toy department of her local Walmart, but she decided she couldn't be bothered with going to the cash register, saying she was just too lazy. Teresa Prine was handcuffed after security guards spotted her leaving St. Petersburg Superstore with a purse stuffed with X-rated goodies, including a vibrating ring, personal massager, and a tube of lubricant. I didn't know they sold that at Walmart.
I didn't either. They really buried the lead on that.
On the other side of Rush, we've got us a Mike TV, and Mikey says we'll never think of Laurel Canyon the same way again.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And last night, Dax Shepard was on Jimmy Kimmel Show on ABC, and Dax got a vasectomy, and he had to go back to the facilities to show that the vasectomy worked. And to get a sample out, he had a little tough time with that. Here we go.
But what you have to do when you get a vasectomy is about 3 weeks later, you have got to take your semen in to make sure that it's worked.
What?
You have to take it. They don't provide an area there at the urology clinic to service yourself. So you have to bring in a sample.
Okay.
So I had an appointment at 5 o'clock in Beverly Hills, and you have to procure your sample within 2 hours of when you get there. You follow me?
Oh, yeah.
Because they'll start 9, and who will know if they were fertile?
Right.
So I was working. I had a meeting scheduled at 3. No problem. I'll have time to go into my office, relax, extract, go to Beverly Hills. I brought a mason jar with me that I rinsed with extra hot water. It was sterile, I think. So I'm in this meeting. Mind you, my best friend's in the meeting with me. He knows the time crunch I'm under. And the meeting's going on and on and on. It's all the presidents of Warner Brothers. And I can't get out of this meeting. And the clock is ticking. All of a sudden, I'm out of the meeting. I have 15 minutes to get from Burbank to Beverly Hills and procure my sample. This is the God's truth. I had to drive cross town, rush hour. Thank God there was heavy traffic on Laurel Canyon, so it slowed down enough that I could...
Really?
Wow. I literally masturbated on Laurel Canyon. Into...
So the next time you drive down Laurel, just think of Dax Shepard. There you go. There's your Mike TV.
Sit, Boo Boo, sit. Good dog.
On the other side of Jimi Hendrix, I will tell you my vasectomy story, because I have one not as interesting, but it's pretty good. All right, so on Mike TV, Dax Shepard telling a very, very funny story about his vasectomy. So we had our 3 kids, and it was basically decided that I was going to go get a vasectomy. And Linda, she toyed with that, because she wasn't sure. She thought, maybe I'm going to have him go to a sperm bank in the event.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, I have no interest in 4 kids. Didn't even want Katie. She happened after a drunken brawl at a dart bar. So anyway, I go in, I get the vasectomy, and we did it on the air. And the doctor was very, very shy. It took me a long time to talk him into doing it. But in the procedure, he's got on headphones, and he's doing the procedure. And he told me to let him know if there was any discomfort. And he, like I said, he was very reluctant to go on the air for this. And at one point in the procedure, I said, I feel a little pressure. And he goes, so do I, which was pretty funny for a stupid old doctor. So anyway, I get the vasectomy. And the basic process is, as Dax said, I was told that I had to have around 50 to 60 extractions before, because even though they had snipped it, you still have live sperm in there.
Gotcha.
So 50 or 60, and so I'm to go back on, you know, the 50th or 60th, whatever it was, I don't remember, and provide a final sample. It is as bad as you can imagine in this room where you're to go. You go in, there's porn and magazines that disgusting people have touched, and what? And there's bright fluorescent light.
Oh,
in this room.
God.
Yeah, it's really as so unsexy as anything can be. And then you're under pressure. You've got to do this. So I pulled up to the place And I had a big car at that point where the back seat was completely blacked out, the windows and the windshield. And so I'm thinking, I can't go in there and do this. Yeah. So I got in the back seat of my car and was trying to do it. Cars were pulling up and parking next to me. I can see them. They can't see me. And I did it that way and just walked it in.
Wow. And did you have some sort of a receptacle, or did you just go, here you go?
Yes, luckily they had provided me with what I needed to do.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
Okay, now this guy went off. I'm only going to read like two sentences.
Uh-oh.
Mikey, Rage Against the Machine is rap alternative metal. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I was concerned by your opinion. The moment you said Rage is not metal and Gina's metal's angrier, my junk shriveled up.
Hmm. Well, to be fair, that probably happened many years ago.
So
I kid. Hey, this is clearly not a genre that Mikey and I are terribly interested in, so our apologies if we didn't know rap, alternative, rock, metal, pop country.
And why do we have to put labels on? I love Rage.
Man,
do I have to be
what's
right?
What's with all the labels all the time?
You know, it's stupid.
He also asked if you guys had heard of a band called R.A.T.M.
Uh-uh.
Right. He's all about
it. No, that's Rage Against the Machine.
R.A.T., yeah.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Hey. Now he hates all of us.
A British guy says he'll never eat bananas again after peeling one and finding hundreds of tiny spiders inside of it. The Clan King, a single father, says he bought a bag of bananas from a local grocery store and ate two of them without detecting anything unusual. But as he pulled the peel on the third, which he was going to feed to his son, he saw spiders, quote, flooding out of it. King brought the bag back to the grocery store and informed them of the spiders, which he believes could be deadly. He was disappointed that the store simply wanted to take them back and refund him the price of the bag instead of checking all the other bags in the store.
Wow. Well, you know, this happened in England.
British, yeah.
Yeah, they are way less litigious than we are, because if that happened here, one of us would be owning a grocery store. You'd sue for big bucks if you got a banana that had spiders crawling out of it. No.
Pouring.
No. No.
Pouring
no.
out.
No. No.
On the other side of business, Eva Longoria is about to get married yet again. This makes this number three. Let's meet Mr. Wright. 5 seconds, 5 minutes away. This is Mark in the Morning. Eva Longoria will give marriage a try for the third time this weekend. The former Desperate Housewives star is marrying her fiancé, Jose Bastón, in Mexico in front of friends and family. Bastón is the president of Latin America's largest media company and is a divorced father of three.
It's wedding season, kid. I got us down for 17 of them already. We are going to have tons and tons of opportunities to meet gorgeous ladies that are so aroused by the thought of marriage that they'll throw their inhibitions to the wind.
Let's figure out what's happening in trending, Gina Grad.
Well, Egypt Air Flight 804 vanished from radar on its way from Paris to Cairo with 66 people aboard, the airline said Thursday. The plane was flying at 37,000 feet when it lost contact overnight above the Mediterranean Sea. Some debris from the plane is suspected to have surfaced in the sea. I'll keep you updated if anything new comes along. Johns Hopkins has ended the use of live animals for medical training. And here's what's trending in sports. Hey, Mikey.
Yeah.
The Angels destroyed the Dodgers last night at Angel Stadium. 8-1?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trout hit a home run.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, Sal Cerencione gives us all the rock news and tells us about the incredibly generous thing that Eric Clapton is about to do. But first, Supertramp. This is Mark in the Morning.
For the latest in the world of classic rock news, we are joined by senior editor Sal Cerencione from Premier Radio News and Prep. Good morning, Sal.
All right. Good morning, Mark. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Really good.
All right, let's get going with Aerosmith. Has drummer Joey Kramer added more fuel to the fire about the band's future? As the only member of the band with no known musical plans this summer, as he continues to concentrate on his coffee brand, Rockin' and Roastin', he has tweeted the following. Thank you to all the Aerosmith fans that have stood by us. I appreciate you all. This comes following a comment by Brad Whitford that the band is still considering touring with a replacement singer while Steven Tyler promotes his upcoming album, which will have a bit of a country slant to it. Tyler will be on the road in July and August. Aerosmith is due to get together in the fall for some South American dates, but one has to wonder if this is yet another inkling of the calm before another storm. We do not know. No reason given why Kramer actually tweeted what he tweeted.
We talked about this yesterday, Sal. Steven Tyler is one of the greatest frontmen ever. And Correct. Gina made a comment, nobody cares about anybody other than Steven Tyler. And this is just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I don't think anything's going to come of it. They just do this every time Tyler's got something going on. It's like the other guys all get jealous. But as the, you know, this summer, all the other band members are actually out there on the road doing their own individual projects. So we'll just have to wait and see. And Eric Clapton, as Gina promoed here just a little while ago, he's taken a page out of the U2 playbook by giving away his new album, I Still Do, for free. But unlike U2, who provided it to every iTunes subscriber, Clapton is using a banking app to make it happen. Tomorrow only, which is the album's release day, if you have an eligible Chase Visa card in Apple Pay or your iPhone 6S, 6S Plus, 6 or 6 Plus, you'll get a complimentary download of the album, I Still Do, plus a special bonus track from the U.S. iTunes store.
Yes.
So again, this is tomorrow only, Eric Clapton's new album, I Still Do, for free via the Chase Visa card app. And for more information, log on to chase.com/Eric Clapton. And speaking of U2, they have given their fans a sneak peek of their new concert collection, Innocence and Experience Live in Paris. They have posted the video for I Will Follow, which you are hearing behind me. It is up there on YouTube. Go check it out. It remains to be seen whether the DVD, which is out on June 10th, actually captures what it was like to be there. This was quite a stage and production that the band put on. But for those who did not get a chance, this certainly is the next best thing. Again, it is U2, Innocence, and Experience Live in Paris. These are the shows. It aired on HBO following the terrorist attacks that happened there last November. It aired in December. And again, this will be out on June 10th. And word has it that U2 will be back on the road August, September. So you're getting a little bit of an exclusive here, but that's what I'm being told. So we'll see what happens. And that's what I've got for today.
Good stuff, Sal. Thank you. Have a great week.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Now, yesterday we had Why Do You Hate Your In-Laws? Linda pulled this off Mark in the Morning Facebook. You won't believe what this guy's ex-mother-in-law did.
Oh, no.
5 minutes away. This is Mark in the Morning. So yesterday we had a topic going, why do you hate your in-laws? And we took a bunch of calls and there were some whack stories.
Yeah.
But we get this one on Mark in the Morning Facebook. Hey, Mark and the gang. I am a day behind in shows, but I wanted to tell you why my ex-mother-in-law doesn't like me. She got mad at me because I got pissed when she took my daughter to a church and had her baptized without asking us or telling us.
Oh, that's no good.
That's insane. What are you thinking, woman?
But doesn't that seem like if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be the grandma? I'm not letting this baby go to purgatory!
But you want to discuss that with the parents.
Yeah, but maybe it was clear that they weren't down, so she just had to do a quick and dirty baptism. I don't know.
On the other side of the stones, we've got a guy who reached out. He wants to call his son because he is graduating and tell him how proud he is because there is dissension in the
family
ranks.
This is my Throwback Thursday, you guys. What are you doing?
Oh, that's my... Okay. Well, here's Jackie's Throwback Thursday. Sorry.
You got 18 seconds. Go, Jackie.
No.
Just do it. Quick. Go. Who is it?
I
tell
prepped
something.
Rolling Stones, Waiting on a Friend. I prepped this whole thing. I can't believe you guys.
I can eat carrots over it.
My fault, Jackie. I forgot. All right, so listener Dan reached out and wanted to know if he could get some time on the show to call his son. So we go to Dan. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Mark, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. I really, really appreciate it.
So your email was pretty detailed. Share with everybody what's happening.
Okay, I'll try and make it through here. My son Josh is graduating today, and my wife and I had got a divorce, and I had to move out in April, and I'm missing him so much. And I wanted to call him up and tell him how much I miss him, how proud I am of him. He's an amazing, amazing son. He's smart. He's talented. It's just amazing.
All right, Dan, we have your son, Josh, on the phone. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Your father is on the phone.
Oh.
Hey, good morning, dude. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. And you?
Yeah. You know, today is a big day for you. You graduate. And, you know, you were born October 11th, 1998. And when you came out of your mom, they said, it's a boy. And I was so proud to have a son. And I didn't know I could get any more prouder or love you more. You know, every day, I just really love you more and be more and more proud. Mark, I was in the Marine Corps. I fell out of a helicopter, and I got 5 herniated discs in my lower back. Mm. I remember when he turned 5 years old, we had a little birthday party for him. And he got, you know, quite a few gifts. And his grandmother asked him to make a wish and blow out the candle. And he did. And she asked him, you know, what did you wish for? He said, I don't need any toys. I don't need any money. I just want my dad's back to be better. And that broke my heart. And I started crying because, like, you know, he's 5 years old. He cares so much about me. You know, he's seen me in the hospital several times and picked up by ambulances because my back, when it goes out bad. He's in the marching band in high school. And his music career started when he was in fifth or sixth grade. They had these little plastic drums they would play for the winter performance type of thing. And he was out there just cranking away on a little plastic drum. Little did I know, he grew up to be a great musician. He's a section leader now in his marching band. And he plays, I don't know, 7 or 8 instruments, plays guitar. He, you know, plays around with writing his own music.
He's so, an amazing student. Josh, your mom and dad breaking up was, I'm sure, really hard on you. Mm-hmm. And so you're graduating. What do you want to be?
I want to be a composer, music teacher, or a computer engineer.
Wow.
Well, Josh, your dad is very proud of you, and he loves you very much. I'm sure you know that.
I know. Love you.
Hey, Josh, congratulations on graduating today. You know, he's made the principal's honor roll every year in high school, which is like the top, 2% of the students and their GPA. And, I mean, he's just awesome. He's just awesome. I couldn't have asked for a better son. And, you know, just, Josh, I love you. I am so, so proud of you. And congratulations for graduating high school today.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Dan. And Dan, in one moment, we sit here, we all have our problems, we all struggle with whatever we struggle with in our lives, but to hear the back problems in and out of hospitals and those kind of things, it reminds all of us that we're pretty okay, and we pray for you for future pain-free days, Dan.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Now, I can't sit here and call Gina names because I'm the most emotional pussy in the world, but she just sat here bawling through that thing.
That's hard. That's so hard to hear. That poor, you know, obviously we don't know what happened between them, but man, he loves his kid. And as a teenager, that was probably, you know, a little uncomfortable for him, maybe a little embarrassing, but I think later today he'll remember this phone call and hopefully it'll make him happy.
We will pause for station identification, and then myself and the pussy will be back.
Can that please be the new name of the morning show?
So if you want to play 5 seconds for $5, because somebody answered it again yesterday, dial 888-696-1003. $5 for $5. This is Mark in the Morning.
5 seconds for $5.
Oddly enough, we don't have a player.
What?
Huh?
No, there's a bunch. They're there.
Yeah, okay.
Hold on.
So I'll just say this, and then we'll get into it. I had to get, you know, I've been to the doctor and root canals.
My
body has just been beaten. I had to give blood. So what I want to ask all of you is, I've never had a problem with needles. Do you?
Are you kidding?
Yes, and then we got a couple of stories, so we'll find out. Jackie, where are we with this?
She's on the phone with one of them.
All right. Let me see what the question is.
Is it finally? It can't be another, what's Garfield's favorite food? We need a real question today.
We go to Steven. Hey, Steven, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Mark?
Really good. Where do you live?
I live in Calabasas.
Married kids?
Kind of. I'm getting married for the second time in a few months.
Mazel tov.
I like kind of. That's a fun answer.
It's complicated.
All right, now, see, Steven, this is a trivia question. This one is very gettable, and this is Danny's fault because these are not hard enough, but I'm forced to go with it because it's the only one I got.
Yep.
If you get this, you get $5. If you don't get it, then $5 goes into tomorrow's game, and it becomes $10. This is why the whole city is talking about this, right?
All I know can say is wow. Yeah.
That honeymoon's going to pay for itself.
All right, Stephen, here we go. We need to sit down one day and get a list together of things that you can actually buy for $5 because it's a short list.
That's a great idea.
All right, Stephen, here we go. Very gettable. Good luck, you pile of crap.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Stephen. What rock star did Johnny Depp take as the inspiration for his Jack Sparrow character?
5, 4, 3. Keith Richards.
That's correct. Woo! Danny, we got to get harder questions. Steven, you are the recipient of $5.
I can retire, Mark. Wonderful.
He's going to Disneyland.
Thank you, Steven. Now, on the other side of Tom Petty, Gina has asked to share some audio with me. I don't know what this is, but we'll all find out together.
Yep.
All right, so I don't know what you're about to hear. I had to leave the room so they could discuss. It's you.
Mark, I just have a question. It was really, we didn't have to do a huge buildup. I just had a quick question for you. What is a suthamesits?
What is a what?
A suthamesits.
I have no idea.
Are you sure? Are you sure you don't know what a suthamesits is?
I can't.
A suthamesits.
Because I'm drawing a blank. Katie, do you know?
I can't figure out what the suthamesits is.
I have no idea.
Mark, you're the only one who would know. You sure you don't know what a suthamesits is?
I don't.
Okay, well, Mikey, when he was putting together some audio yesterday of you, ran across this clip of you speaking, and we all had to come in and listen to it 18 times because we couldn't stop laughing. Mikey, roll the clip.
Well, again, thank you. That was fun, and it's nice to kind of talk suthamesits, crazy things.
So again, I ask you, what is a suthamesits?
All right, so let's listen again. I have to try to figure out what I was trying to say.
We kind of have. Yeah, trust me, we listened to this so many times. All right, let's see if Mark can figure it out.
Well, again, thank you. That was fun, and it's nice to kind of talk suthamesits, crazy things that happen. Oh, my God.
Talk about a burning toast moment.
All right, one more time, please. Let me work with it.
All right, silence.
Well, again, thank you. That was fun, and it's nice to kind of talk suthamesits, crazy things that happen. I have no clue.
Okay, thankfully, because I have now learned how, I have my Mark to English dictionary. Katie's your daughter. Mikey's been listening to you for too long. We think we figured it out. We think you meant to say, it's nice to talk through some of these things. But instead you said.
Well, again, thank you. That was fun, and it's nice to kind of talk suthamesits, crazy things.
And I got to tell you, he does this so much when we go out to dinner. He just takes all these words and puts them all together into one big grand one. It's amazing.
It's why we love you, Pops Thompson.
Well, one of the things that I do, which is bad, is that, and you all know this, I'll be in the middle of a sentence and another thought will come into my brain and I'll interrupt the words that I'll stop mid-word to get out the next thought.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
I need to stop doing that. That was hysterical. Yeah. I don't even know how you found that, Mikey. That's great. Well, again, thank you. That was fun. And it's nice to kind of talk Suthamazeet's crazy things.
That's my new favorite word.
All right. We need to do that again next hour. That's just too good. All right. So, again, in my world, in the last 3 weeks, I've had 2 root canals, one from a specialist. Oh. I had to go to the doctor, and I had to go give blood. And I've never had a problem with needles. It's never bothered me. It doesn't really hurt. But I know that a lot of people are debilitated by fear of the thing. And so it's kind of funny, you know, when you go in, they put you in the dumpster chair with the thing that comes down in case you pass out.
Oh, God.
You're held up in the chair.
Yep.
Needles, Gina, problem
can't
with needles?
Can't do it. Can't do it. And coupled with the fact that I have no veins, so it takes them forever. There's tears. There's crying. And then I'm upset. Mm. No, that was a joke. But no, they literally take a running start and have to stab me because I have no veins. And I hate needles.
Katie?
I mean, I think that I'm due for a tetanus shot and the thought of having to go and get it. But I just had blood done like 2 weeks ago and she was not nice. Like I was talking so much because I'm so nervous.
Yeah.
She was ignoring every question. She hurt me as she was doing it. But yeah, no needles in me.
Katie, I would rather get a shot than get blood drawn.
Mm. I don't want you to stick anything sharp into my body that's going to take liquid out or put it in.
Gotcha.
Let's just not. Let's think of a different way to do this.
And I can tell by Mikey's reaction, he's got a serious problem.
Oh, dude, it's so bad that when I go now, and I only go every couple of years, but I just tell him, let me just lie down because I'm going to pass out. So I'm lying down from the beginning. Yeah, I can't do it.
No.
I got a shot in my hip, passed out.
Oh.
Yep.
That's going to be painful, though. Jeez.
Okay, so we're all about proms today. This is prom season, so we want to hear, if you have one, a horror story that happened at your prom, which made it a horrible night. And when we come back from business, we're going to bump into all of the songs that we had at our prom. When we come back on the other side, we will hear Jackie's prom song. 5 minutes away. This is Mark in the Morning. Danny, that's you. All right, so we're doing prom themes. Jackie wasn't ready. So this is Gina's.
Yeah, I remember even though this song came out 10 years before my prom, the theme was In Your Eyes. But you know what? I love this song, and I love Peter Gabriel. And the other choices, because the top 2, I think, songs, or they were in the top 5 for the year of my prom, were The Macarena.
Oh, God.
And Gangsta's Paradise.
Good Lord.
So I think they did a good thing by going with In Your Eyes.
And was your prom a pleasurable experience, or?
Yeah, I went to junior and senior prom, both with guy friends. And we didn't spend a ton of time at the prom. A lot of pregame, a lot of postgame. But you really just go to the prom to get your picture taken, and then you scoot off, go to the post party.
The prom itself, I mean, once you go in, you can't leave and then come back.
That's right.
They don't allow that.
That's right.
So once you leave, you're done. You're done for the night. And the prom itself is usually pretty boring. It's the parties afterwards that you go to somebody's
house. That is literally exactly what happened with us.
On the other side of AC/DC, I've got 5 reasons today doesn't suck.
Ooh.
This is Mark in the Morning. 5 reasons today doesn't suck.
1.
It was on this day in 1945, Pete Townsend was born. No, he is 71 today. The Who only had one song. They never had a number one hit. They only had one song that was in the top 10. Do you know what that song was?
Oh. I'm going to go with something from Tommy. No?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
What?
Mikey? My Generation?
Nope.
Can't Explain?
Nope.
Help us, Uncle, Uncle.
I can see for
Oh, I love this song, but I'm surprised.
Their only top 10 hit.
Two.
It was on this day back in 1962, Marilyn Monroe sang the most famous rendition of Happy Birthday ever to John F. Kennedy at a party for the president in New York.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
She was sewn into this dress.
Man, you can tell.
Three.
Happy birthday to Peter Mayhew. Who is that, Gina?
That name sounds very familiar. Who is that, Mikey?
I have no idea.
Who's Peter
Mayhew?
He's
72. Huh?
Who's Peter Mayhew, Mark?
He is the guy who played...
Chewie!
Four.
It was on this day in 1932, Dan Quayle... No, I'm sorry, 92. Vice President Dan Quayle criticizes the sitcom Murphy Brown for having its title character decide to bear a child out of wedlock.
Remember when he sent the character's baby a gift? It was so bizarre.
Thank God for Dan Quayle.
Five.
It was early morning yesterday. I was up before the dawn.
And it was on this day in 1979, Supertramp's Breakfast in America is the number one selling album in the U.S. It spins off three hits. This one.
Like a king without a castle.
And.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful.
And.
So you think you're Romeo, playing a part in a picture show.
You're so good.
This album stayed on my turntable for about 5 years.
I don't doubt it.
It was an anthem to my life. All right, we're all about horror stories from your prom. We're sharing some of the songs that were featured in our proms. Let's go to Joe. He's calling from Yorba Linda. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, how you doing?
Really good. Tell us your prom horror story.
Back in 84, when I was going to prom a long time ago, we had rented a limo. And just as we were approaching prom, my girlfriend got out of the limo, and her girlfriend says, you need to get back in the limo. And she's like, why? And she's like, because you just had to period all over the back of your dress. And our prom was ruined at that point. We went back to the hotel and just stayed there the rest of the night.
Oh, God. It's like a teenager's worst nightmare.
Let's go to Paul. He's calling from Whittier. Paul, tell us your bad prom story.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Really good, Paul.
It was 2002. My girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, we were going to prom. I worked my ass off at my uncle's trucking company, and I made all the money to go. I didn't even go to her school, so we had to get waivers signed and everything. Anyway, the night before, I guess, she had told me, like, oh, my dad says I can't have a boyfriend. And I'm like, okay, so we're going to, you know, like my whole world comes crashing down. I go to this, you know, we'd been together for a year and a half already. And so I go to prom that I worked my ass off with my girlfriend, you know, for, oh man, I'm sorry. I'm just getting all kinds of like, I'm just remembering, you know, she broke up with me. So I was just like sitting there the whole time and I was kind of sad the whole day, but it was pretty rough. But I mean, I guess I got the better of it. I mean, we've been married for 13 years now.
You see, because I was just about to jump in and say, my guess is she used her father as an excuse because she was disgusted by you. But now the case. You've been married.
Yeah, she's totally in love with me. I mean, I'm the greatest thing that ever happened to her. I'm just kidding.
I like your bravado.
She's actually right here next to me.
Oh, she's right there with him. Maybe should we get her perspective, Mark?
Yeah, put her on the phone. Hello?
They want to talk to you.
Hello?
So did your dad really tell you you couldn't have a boyfriend?
Yeah, he really did.
And did you sneak around behind his back and date Paul?
I did, actually. I did. He never wanted me to have a boyfriend, so I must have broken up with Paul 20, 30 times before we actually got married.
Wow. And how does your father and Paul get along now?
It's here and there. Sometimes they love each other. Sometimes they hate each other. But
does your dad know that?
So it works out fine.
Does your dad know that you were sneaking around all that time behind his back?
now. Now that it's, 13 years later, he's fully aware.
Okay. Well, listen, good story, and good luck with your marriage. You got any kids?
We have no kids, no.
All right, well, listen, thank you for calling in. You guys have a great day. Your prom horror story. Was it a bad night? Let us know about it. On the other side of business, Burger King had a problem, and they fixed it. I'll tell you the scenario. You guess and see if you can figure out what they did, because it completely fixed the problem.
Okay.
That's 5 minutes away. This is Mark in the Morning. All right, see if you can figure it out. Have it yours. A Burger King in San Francisco had a pretty serious problem with people loitering around in front of the store because the restaurant is located directly across the street from one of the busiest rail stations in the city. Its doors were often blocked by shopping carts, sleeping bags, and people just constantly hanging outside. They did something, and it completely fixed the problem.
They sprayed special sauce onto the sidewalk.
That's right. Good one.
Oh, yes. Yes. First guess.
I will reveal after Fleetwood Mac. Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Grad.
Well, email addresses and passwords for over 100 million LinkedIn members have been put up for sale on the dark net by the same hacker who stole the data from the site in 2012. Please change your information. LinkedIn has admitted that the 2012 hack was significantly worse than previously thought. TV maven Shonda Rhimes is developing a culturally diverse retelling of Romeo and Juliet called Still Star-Crossed. And here's what's trending in sports to commemorate Rogue Ned Odor's punching Jose Bautista last weekend during a Rangers-Blue Jays game. The Rangers farm team is selling a new energy drink containing alcohol called Rogie's Red Punch. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, we have so many more of your prom horror stories straight from you. But first, dreams. This is Mark in the Morning. Warmer weather, it is finally upon us. And you know what that means? It's spring cleaning time. You could spend time sprucing up that house, sprucing up that yard. But if you really want a fresh start, do what I did, people. Get a Casper. It is a perfect mattress that'll help you wake up feeling refreshed, ready to enjoy all this weather. If it's rainy, if it's sunny, it doesn't matter. The Casper is there for you. I have to drive to Irvine tonight and do a live show, and there will be nothing better than waking up feeling refreshed from that Casper. The mattress is engineered with two high-tech foams for supportive comfort that guarantees a great night's sleep, and their sheets and pillows are just as comfortable. Together, they create an environment designed to keep you cool and balanced all night. It's a great combination. I love my Casper. You're going to love it, too. Try yours for 100 nights in your own home with free shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com and use code Gina. That's Gina for $50 toward the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com, code Gina for $50 toward the purchase off your mattress. Casper.com, terms and conditions apply.
All right, so when I was a senior, we didn't have a prom. We voted to have a senior day. So we went out to the city pool, swam, cooked out. I think we got high. It was whatever it was.
Sounds pretty good.
But we still had a theme. Roll it, Danny. Oh, yeah. This is Seals and Croft. We may never pass this way again. And I'm thinking, May? Hey, I'm graduating, bitch. I'm not coming back this way, just so you know. Now, we are packed with what Jackie said are really good prom horror stories. We go to Ruben. Ruben, tell us your prom horror story.
So it's 1982, and I'm dating a girl who's from New Jersey. And this is here in Los Angeles. This is here in L.A. And her dad is about 6'5". And he's a guy from New Jersey. He's a bus mechanic, and his name is Bruce. Bruce always wore a baseball cap, had these big, meaty, greasy hands. Nicest guy you ever met. There was a couple things you didn't mess with, though, when it came to Bruce. Was his Harley, his Corvette, his vintage Corvette, hot rod, and his little girl. So I asked his little girl to prom, and he comes over to me, and he says, puts his arm around me, and he says, hey, because you're taking Marie to prom, I'd like to let you drive the Corvette if that's okay with you. But you got to take care of both of them, all right? So I couldn't believe it. Freaked out. Told everybody at school, told every guy I knew, told everyone I was going to be driving this hot rod Corvette. It was like a 1961 metallic thing with a big hood scoop and, you know, chrome wheels, the whole bit. And so the day comes. I'm at home getting ready. I'm in this silly white tux. Can't believe I wore a white tux. But anyway. and walked out because I heard the car rumbling down the street, this loud car coming up the street, and I was so excited. I walk out to the front yard. Here comes Bruce in the vet, like he had promised, and it's cool. He's pulling up in front of my house. He stops, and he goes to get out, and he's getting out of the Corvette, in the other direction coming up the street is a black limo. I look at the limo, I look at the vet, I look at the limo, I look at the vet, and I look at him. He has this big smile on his face. He's laughing at me, and I just scream out, "No!" And he looks at me, he comes over, puts that big arm around me, and he says, "Now look, you didn't believe for even 2 seconds that I was really going to let you drive my vet to your prom, did you?" There it is.
Hey, at least you had a limo to get in. That's pretty good.
I did, which broke down on the way to Disneyland.
Ruben, good stuff. Thanks for listening, bud. All right, so on the other side of business, first we got to get into Blake Lively. She's in trouble, and you're going to have to explain it to me. I cannot figure out why she's in trouble. Mm-hmm. But the McDonald's in San Francisco had a complete problem of people loitering around. You couldn't even get into the Burger King. In 5 minutes, I'll explain what the manager did to fix the... Did I do something wrong?
Hey, sometimes it's McDonald's, sometimes it's Burger King. Maybe... Next time God. You tell it'll be Taco Bell?
It's Burger King.
Okay, okay.
I apologize. 5 minutes away, I'll tell you what he did. It worked like a charm. 5 minutes away. This is Mark in the Morning.
Yeah.
So a Burger King in San Francisco had a pretty serious problem with people hanging out in front of the store. The restaurant was located across the street from one of the busiest rail stations in the city, and its doors were blocked by shopping carts, sleeping bags, and people just hanging out. So the manager, after trying several things and nothing worked, he put up gigantic speakers and blasted classical music from Beethoven 24/7.
Oh.
It worked completely.
People didn't want to sleep under that? No.
I guess not. Hey, you do what you got to do. Now, you're out and about this weekend, are you not?
Yes. I'm going to be at Osh in Van Nuys from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. I have to say p.m. because I'm so used to doing stuff in the a.m. But right. It's going to be super fun. They're doing like this huge block party at Osh. And there's going to be food and games. And oh, apparently you can win a bocce ball set, which I will totally play the winner because that's one of my favorite games. So that's Osh in Van Nuys 5 to 7 this Saturday. And tonight, if you're in Orange County, I will be doing the Adam Carolla show at the Irvine Improv, so come on down to that as well.
Hardest working bitch in show business, I've always said. On the other side of Greg Kinn, we'll continue with our prom horror stories. This is Mark in the Morning. All right, so we are in prom season, and so our story today is what happened at your prom to make it an awful experience. We go to Chuck. He's calling from Downey. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Mark. Nice first-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, thank you, dude. I appreciate you listening.
Yeah. I graduated from high school in 1972. I was dating a girl for a couple years on and off, and we finally broke off just before prom. So here I am stuck with no prom date, right? Mm-hmm. So my sister's got an older boyfriend that we decided that I'll go ahead and take his sister to the prom. And I picked her up, and as evening progressed, nothing was really being cool or anything about it. And then all... sudden, I said, you know, I'm not having fun. She's not having fun, so I decided to take her home. Well, after I got her home, I found out she was a lesbian. She wanted nothing to do with me.
Well, at least you couldn't take it personally.
Well, half my friends and all asking me after I dropped her off, well, where's the girl at? She's a lesbian. No! Good time.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it. Let's go to Pat. He's calling from Chino. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Mark. How you doing, man?
Really good. Tell us your prom horror story.
Long time, first time. The prom was pretty much doomed in the first place. I was supposed to go with this one girl, and I kind of blew her out, so I went with another friend of mine. And we're driving in my car. We're at Portugal, and my car breaks down after dinner, so I have to call a tow truck. And they towed the car over to their shop, and I don't know how to get there, so they said, well, we'll drive you there. The prom's at Queen Mary. So they're driving us to Queen Mary, and kind of bummed because my date got some oil on her dress from the tow truck, so she's pretty bummed. So the tow truck guy goes, hey, you guys want to get high? So shit, yeah, man. I mean, yeah. So we're getting high, driving to the prom, and I tell him, you know, drop us off here right at the edge of the park, the driveway. And he goes, no, hell no, we're driving you in. He puts on his lights, and we pull up with the tow truck with the lights blaring, and we get dropped off. So
We go to the prom, we're doing, you know, we dance, we're hanging out with my friends, and now we have to find a ride home. Well, my date went home with one of my best friends because she really liked him, and I had to hitch a ride with somebody else. So it was a crazy night, but one I'll never forget.
An odd night, yeah.
Thank you, Pat.
Take care of yourself. So last night, Linda and I were sitting outside, as we always do, watching Family Feud and having some wine and hanging out. And Linda spends her entire life trying to get Red, our Labrador Retriever, to take a crap. And he wouldn't. So she put him on his leash and she took him up to the front yard. She's gone like 15, 20 minutes. So she finally comes back and she just walked up and she said, Rusty Wallace, NASCAR Hall of Famer Rusty Wallace, is going to be on your show tomorrow. He's got a big thing happening this weekend called the All-Star Race or something, and he's going to come in. So Rusty will be here. He's my next-door neighbor. He'll be here at 8:30.
Nice.
And if somebody can tell me what this is, this thing this weekend, if you're a NASCAR fan and you know what the All-Star thing is, I'd like to know that before Rusty sits down and... Well, he knows what an idiot I am.
Yeah, he knows you're not into it.
I was pretty honest with him about it. All right, let's talk this through because Blake Lively is in trouble.
Fans, those rap guys. They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt.
Now, Blake Lively has social media in a tizzy, and I'll be honest and say I don't understand. She said that she had, quote, has an L.A. face and an Oakland booty. That caption accompanied a side-by-side photograph of the actress at Cannes showing off her ample backside, and some folks called it racist. One Twitter user said, quote, another day, another rich white woman using WOC's bodies as a punchline and commodity.
Women of
as
color,
as if Blake Lively wasn't the worst already. Mm. Others, however, are defending the star, saying Blake was only quoting a lyric from Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back. TMZ also pointed out that Katy Perry and Khloe Kardashian have used the same quote on social media without getting ripped for it.
Mm.
I just don't understand. Do you?
Can I just hear and groan for the next hour? And this stuff is hard for me because it's about cultural appropriation, and this is a part of somebody else's culture, and you're kind of stealing it and making it your own, and it's not yours to steal, and it's not yours to make your own. But this is Instagram, people. She's in a dress at an event most of us don't care about. Let's all just take a chill pill.
Linda was flying once. I was not with her, so she's on the plane. And she looks up, and there's a lady who needed to get the chair next to Linda. So Linda gets up, she goes in, and Linda's looking at her, and she's thinking, I've seen you somewhere before. So this person sits down, covers her face immediately with a blanket, and goes to sleep, sleeps most of the flight. Linda gets home, starts looking through magazines. It was Blake Lively. She sat next to her on this airplane. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, my ladies, I need you.
Dating is a game that grown-ups play.
Even though it's 2016, women still have a hard time making the first move. Instead of pining for that hot barista at Starbucks, ask him out. Here's how. Be blunt and simply ask. The simplest way to ask a guy out is to simply ask him. I see you here every morning. Would you like to grab a drink sometime? Mm-hmm. There's nothing hotter than a beautiful woman saying, I like you. And I guarantee you, if you ladies, if you walked up and did this, they're going to go. Yeah. Even if you're butt ugly and you know who you are, they're going to go.
Can I tell you, I've always been forward. If you can imagine. And, you know, for some reason, the asking, I think, is scary. Would you like to go out sometime? So what I always did is if we were talking and hanging out and things were going well, I would go, we should hang out.
Yeah.
You're fun. We should totally hang out. Here, exactly. Take my number. And then when they take it, I move on with my life.
Yeah.
They call, they text, they don't. I did my job. I said, ooh, you're fun. We should hang out.
Yeah.
And that seems to get them sort of into it. Jackie,
that's
over there in the screener booth, you like that?
Yeah, that's a perfect way. Like, you know, you tell them like, oh yeah, we should hang out. Oh yeah. You know, if they don't follow up with like, well, what's your number? Then I'm like, screw you then. You know, not a big deal. There'll be plenty more.
Yep.
Gina just said it. If you're too shy to talk, hand him a piece of paper with your phone number on it. Just letting him know that you're interested will work.
Mm-hmm.
Next, maybe you've got a crush on a friend, and if you do, invite him to something you know he's interested in. Mm-hmm. Just the two of you.
I like that.
Next, have your wing woman do it. When you don't have the guts, have your bestie do it for you.
Jackie, you do it.
I know. I did this. The only reason why I'm with my boyfriend right now is because my best friend helped us put this together. I went after him. So, yeah, this all applies to me.
If you just joined us, these are ways for women to ask a guy out if they're a little nervous about it. If you're in a bar, walk up and offer to buy him a drink.
Mm, yeah.
Nah.
Why should we spend
money? I know, I don't drink that drink.
I don't want spending money. Mm.
And if there's a cute guy in the supermarket line behind you, simply say hi. You never know where that'll go.
Done that.
But ladies, I'm telling you, if you've got the guts to walk up and say, hey, you want to sit down and grab a drink or a glass of wine or something? It's going to work.
Yeah.
I dated a guy for a few months right when I moved here because we were in a bar and he was wearing this big puffy vest. But it was dorky, but he was hot. And I went up to him and I go, can I touch your vest? And he just started laughing and we went out for 3 months.
Holla.
On the other side of the Beatles, a Michigan man was stripped of his freedom by cops who hauled him to jail for printing and using counterfeit money to pay for lap dances at a strip club in his hometown. Details after Beatles with Mark in the Morning. Now, you know that I'm very capable of when I'm teasing a story, I sometimes accidentally give you the entire story. And I read the first line and Gina said, you mean there's more? There is more.
Okay, I can't wait.
A Michigan man was stripped of his freedom by cops who hauled him off to jail for printing and using counterfeit money to pay for lap dances at a strip club in his hometown. Stephen Gidcombe, a regular at the Deja Vu Club, had been handing out real government-issued small bills to the dancers over the course of an evening. But when it came time to pay for the lap dance, he slipped a phony $100 to one of the ladies. Gidcombe left the joint before anybody flagged the phony money, but he ended up coming back later in the evening, at which time the manager called the cops. The officers collared the 31-year-old guy and drove him back to his parents' home, where he lives in the basement. There they found a stack of fake bills and a printing press, enough evidence to bring him a felony charge.
Wow. Well, his mom was probably shouting downstairs, Danny, get a hobby! And so he started making money.
On the other side of ZZ Top, we'll find out sports with Todd because the Angels kill the Dodgers 8-1.
Yeah.
That's coming up. Stand by. All right, so I told you, NASCAR Hall of Famer Rusty Wallace is going to be on the show today. He's my next door neighbor. And he told Linda the story. It's some kind of a race, an all-star race. Mm-hmm. And so I asked NASCAR fans to call and enlighten us. We go to Mike from Santa Clarita. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Hey, just really fast and quick. All it is an all-star race of past winners and winners. And the main thing is, whoever crosses the finish line first gets $1 million.
Holy crap. Nice. So this is not a points race. This is just one winner gets $1 million.
This is what they call their fun race, and because winner takes it all.
Mike, I appreciate it. And if you have a question for Rusty or if anybody else has a question for Rusty, feel free to call up 888-696-1003. But wait, we're 30 minutes away from it. Mike, thank you for the information, my friend.
No problem.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
Todd Donahoe Sports is brought to you by our friends and buddies at Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. Todd is on the road and calls us via phone. Good morning, Todd.
Great morning to you, Mark. Babe, we're starting off with baseball because the Angels beat the Dodgers last night in Anaheim. 8-1, a 5-run fifth inning for the Angels. Mike Trout is ninth home run of the season. Yeah. He's batting .320 now. And he's had, since 2012, his rookie year, he's hit 39 home runs in the first inning. In the first inning, that tops in the major leagues. Wow. And Albert Pujols goes 2-for-3, got his 2,700th career hit last night. The Angels win, and they'll host the Dodgers again tonight. Now to the NBA. And, boy, Golden State poured on Oklahoma City last night, 118-91, to even that series at a game apiece. Stephon Curry with 28 points. Listen to this. He scored 15 straight points in only 2 minutes in the third quarter last night. Wow. In a two-minute span, he scores 15 straight points for his team. Unbelievable. And Golden State won. And then the NHL, Pittsburgh was 4-2 winners over Tampa Bay, and they lead that series 2-1. And finally, Mark, I got an NFL note here, and you'll love this. Now, on Tuesday, they had Celebrity Jeopardy, okay? And the contestants were CNN's Anderson Cooper, MSNBC's Michael Steele, and 60 Minutes' Lara Logan. Those are all news people. And here was the question that Alex Trebek asked them. This Carolina Panther quarterback was the first NFL rookie to pass for over 4,000 yards. You, of course, know the answer, right?
I do.
Yes. Nobody knew the answer. I mean, Anderson Cooper, Michael Steele, and Lara Logan all struck out, using a sports term, and they did not know it was, of course, Cam Newton.
Yeah, you
so,
have to be...
It's amazing. You think everybody would know who Cam Newton is, but
well, you have
not
to
the
be
people
a,
who give you the evening news, what?
You have to be a complete unfan to not know the answer to that question. Even
well,
if you're...
Especially after this year when he got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, anyway, crazy. Listen, I'm going to get out of here because I'm going to be in studio tomorrow, Mark, and then from 10:30, I want to remind everybody, from 10:30 to noon tomorrow, I'll be out at Frontier Toyota in Valencia. It's real easy to get to, I-5 to the Valencia Boulevard exit, and then it's just off the road just a little ways, but we're going to have some ticket giveaways, the Doheny tickets, I think some sports tickets, maybe some pizza and some food, but this will be my first public appearance in Los Angeles since 2004.
Ooh.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. Come on, okay?
Todd,
so I sure hope a lot of people come on out to Frontier Toyota. You can get directions and details at FrontierToyota.com, but I look forward to being in the studio tomorrow and being in Los Angeles, okay?
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, you're there from 10:30 to 11:30. You're also giving away a pair of WHO tickets at Honda Center on May 22nd and a pair of field tickets to see the Dodgers take on the Reds on Tuesday, May 24th. That's thanks to VIPtickets.com. You have a bunch of stuff to do. You're going to be a busy man up there.
Oh, that's going to be great. WHO tickets. You see, now I would say who's on first, but what's on second,
what
I don't
there.
Care plays third base.
Now, if those of you that are going to go out and see Todd, if you decide to take and give him the gift of beer, you know that his favorite beer is cold and on sale.
And by the way, since it'll be after 10:30 in the morning, it's the perfect time.
Agreed.
Well, listen, y'all do pop out and say hey to Todd. Todd and I have worked together for close to 30 years now. We've been broadcasting together. He is the nicest freaking guy in the world. So drop by Frontier Toyota. When is it again, Todd?
Frontier Toyota, you just go, it's I-5 to Valencia Boulevard. Of course, everybody in Santa Clarita knows where Frontier Toyota is because it's a very prominent location, Creekside and Valencia Boulevard. So very easy to get to. Would love to see a lot of folks out there tomorrow morning.
On the other side of business, this I saw this yesterday. It's really very funny. A lady passed away, and her son and her husband wrote a very funny obituary, he said, basically to honor her sense of humor. I'll come back and share with you that 5 minutes away. This is Mark in the Morning. Well, forget about people who threaten to leave the country if Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton become president. A Virginia woman took leaving the country to a whole new level. She died. Her obituary reads, quote, "Faced with the prospect of voting for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, Mary Ann Noland of Richmond chose instead to pass into the eternal love of God on Sunday, May 15th, 2016, at the age of 68. The obituary was written by one of her sons, and as her husband explained, this was a tribute to her sense of humor.
That's pretty great.
I love that so much.
Yeah, that's good.
On the other side of Billy Joel, Gina's going to share something with me that she won't tell me what it is. So let's discover it together. This is Billy Joel on Mark in the Morning. All right, so I don't know what you're about to hear. I had to leave the room so they could discuss.
Well,
so,
yeah.
It's you.
Mark, I just have a question. It was really, we didn't have to do a huge buildup. I just had a quick question for you. What is a Suthamesis?
What is a what?
A Suthamesites.
I have no idea.
Are you sure? Are you sure you don't know what a Suthamesites is?
I can't.
A Suthamesites.
Because I'm drawing a blank. Katie, do you know?
I can't figure out what the Suthamesites
is.
I have no idea.
Mark, you're the only one who would know. You sure you don't know what a Suthamesites is?
I don't.
Okay, well, Mikey, when he was putting together some audio yesterday of you, ran across this clip of you speaking, and we all had to come in and listen to it 18 times because we couldn't stop laughing. Mikey, roll the clip.
Well, again, thank you. That was fun, and it's nice to kind of talk Suthamesites, crazy things like that.
Ask you, what is a Suthamesites?
All right, so let's listen again. I have to try to figure out what I was trying to say.
We kind of have.
Yeah, we listened to this so many times. All right, let's see if Mark can figure it out.
Well, again, thank you. That was fun, and it's nice to kind of talk Suthamesites, crazy things that happen. Oh, my God.
Talk about a burning toast moment.
All right, one more time, please. Let me work with it.
All right, silence.
Well, again, thank you. That was fun, and it's nice to kind of talk Suthamesites, crazy things that happen. Talks. I have no clue.
Okay, thankfully, because I have now learned how, I have my Mark to English dictionary. Katie's your daughter. Mikey's been listening to you for too long. We think we figured it out. We All think right. you meant to say it's nice to talk through some of these things. But instead you said.
Well, again, thank you. That was fun, and it's nice to kind of talk Suthamesites, crazy things.
And I got to tell you, he does this so much when we go out to dinner. He just takes all these words and puts them all together into one big grand one. It's amazing.
It's why we love you, Pops Thompson.
Well, one of the things that I do, which is bad, is that, and you all know this, I'll be in the middle of a sentence, and another thought will come into my brain,
yep.
and I'll interrupt the words that I'll stop. I just did it. I'll stop mid-word to get out the next thought.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
I need to stop doing that. That was hysterical. Yeah. I don't even know how you found that, Mikey. That's great. Well, again, thank you. That was fun, and it's nice to kind of talk Suthamesites, crazy things.
That's my new favorite word.
Now, in the middle of that, NASCAR Hall of Famer Rusty Wallace, who happens to be my next door neighbor, walked in the studio. Last night, Linda and I were sitting outside. We're having some wine. I got a cigar going. We're watching Family Feud. And Red won't take a crap. So Linda goes to the front yard. Rusty apparently was going to check his mail. And he told Linda a story, and Linda comes back and says, by the way, Rusty Wallace is going to be on your show. Good morning, Rusty.
Oh, good morning to you, too. I tell you, that's some funny stories you guys tell, and it's amazing the stuff you guys talk about. Now, I listen to you every morning. You might not know that, but I turn my iPad on, and I sit there and listen to you. In fact, Patty's next door listening to us right now. And so she said, now, look, whatever you do, don't screw up and open that big mouth of yours and say something stupid. I said, don't worry about it. I won't do that. It'd be cool.
So, when Rusty first bought the house, he did a lot of construction. He brought this boat. I mean, this thing is massive. And has he invited me to take a ride on the boat? No, he hasn't. He certainly has. And you know what? He won't. Yeah. But I'll share this. I said last time he was in here, I said, Rusty, do you smoke cigars? He goes, No, I never have. I said, well, do you drink? Oh, I drink a lot.
I did say that. Yeah.
So now let me ask you a question. And this won't make sense to anybody if you just joined NASCAR Hall of Famer Rusty Wallace is here. And by the way, if you got questions for Rusty, 888-696-1003. He's going to tell us about this crazy race that's coming up this weekend. Now, my question to you, Rusty, is this. Have you found a small plastic airplane in your backyard?
Oh, no, I don't think I have, unless it's on the roof of the house or something. But I haven't seen it in the back, and if it was in the back, it wouldn't last long because my dogs would probably eat it.
Oh, well, no. Mark was kind of hoping you'd bring that back today.
Yeah, I was at Target and I bought this little play airplane where it's like a slingshot. You connect the rubber band to the and then you let the airplane go and it just glides around. Well, I got like three shots until it landed in your freaking backyard.
Oh, well, maybe when was that? Yesterday?
No, this is a week ago.
I'll take another look, but I haven't seen it. I mean, but I haven't walked the whole backyard yet, so it might be back there. I don't know.
I loved it, too. I was looking on Mark in the Morning Facebook, and a listener was apparently here at Lake Norman, and they took a picture of my house, and they put it up on Mark in the Morning Facebook, but they got it wrong. It was Rusty's house.
Well, they were pretty close. I mean, they're pretty well hooked together here, you know.
All right. So, again, if you just joined us, NASCAR Hall of Famer Rusty Wallace, we're going to slice off some business, and Rusty is going to talk about this major event that's happening in the world of NASCAR. And, again, this is one of the few times you're going to have a chance to talk to a NASCAR Hall of Famer, one of the greatest drivers in the history of the biggest sport in the world. I know soccer fans would bitch about that, but NASCAR is gigantic. So if you want to talk any kind of question for Rusty, 888-696-1003. We'll slice off business and get back. This is Mark in the Morning. All right, we've got Rusty Wallace. He is my next-door neighbor, and he happens to be a Hall of Fame NASCAR driver. He's going to be talking about what's happening this weekend, but let's get a couple of questions because we've got what they call in the business, Rusty, full phones.
Understand.
Larry, you're on the air with Rusty Wallace.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Hey, Rusty, got a question for you. Truly an honor to talk to you.
Oh, well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, tell me what you think about this little tiff that that Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano seem to have going on. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, I think the problem started probably back in Kansas City last year. There was a big race, and Logano won the week before, and he, you know, made the chase for the championship back then. So the following week, it was Kenseth leading the race and Logano behind him. Well, Logano sailed down into turn one, just a little bit too hot, got in his left rear quarter panel, wrecked him. And, man, I'm telling you what, that made Kent so mad it was unreal. He's like, hey, dude, you already won. You're already in. You're locked in the chase. And now here I am going for it to get myself in, and you take me out. So it started right there. They got really mad. So then they go, what was it, 2 weeks ago or 2 weeks after that, they go to Martinsville, Virginia, and Kent said, I'm not going to let this dude win this race. He was right on his tail, and he took him out. And so then it was on after that. And so NASCAR calmed them all down. But, you know, they don't forget. They're still mad at each other a little bit. I mean, when they say they're cool, they're faking it, you know?
My favorite part of the sport is when people fight. Get out of the car. Tell me the first time you cold-cocked somebody in the pit.
I don't know if, you know, I tell you what, drivers generally don't do that. Generally, it's the crew guys. Because if a driver does it, you get these big fines and you get kicked out and all this stuff. But the crew guys are the ones that generally get the hottest. You know why? Because those are the guys that got to go back to the shop and fix the thing after the drivers get into it. So when there's a wreck, I mean, for whatever reason, the crew guys are in there fighting all the time.
Now, who was it? There's two drivers in the pit. They're pissed at each other, but they're not hitting. And then one guy's girlfriend slaps the crap out of the other guy. Who was that?
I don't know. I've seen that happen many times, man. You know, I'll never forget. I was in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina at a short track race, and I was out there running along, and I ended up, this guy bumped me in the last lap, and I bumped him back, and I come down pit road. And as I'm coming down pit road, I drop the window net, and I'm waving at the crowd near everything, and this gal jumps across the wall and slaps my helmet. And it was the guy that I bumped, engine builder's wife. That's how crazy it gets. So I think the ladies get pretty involved in the sport.
NASCAR Hall of Fame driver Rusty Wallace is in the building. If you have questions, it's 888-696-1003. Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Grett.
Well, Facebook chief executive Mark Zuckerberg heard from more than a dozen U.S. concerned. Really?
Sorry, I spit on the screen. Sorry.
Thank you.
My bad.
More than a dozen U.S. conservative leaders on Wednesday and said he will work to build trust with users who will believe that the social network displays politically biased news content. Charlie Sheen is rounding up a posse of lawyers to go after the anger management show executives, whom he says owe him millions. And a new product makes it possible to lick your cat by placing a synthetic human-sized cat tongue over your own tongue. Where do I sign?
And why is that even a thing? Why does that need to exist?
You can clean your cat.
Where'd Gina find that at?
I'm Gina Grett, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, more with NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace. But first, The Clash. This is Mark in the Morning.
So if you just joined us, NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace, who happens to be my next door neighbor, is in studio today. It's going to be, I had Rusty scheduled the last time he was in, and he didn't come. He didn't show up. And so I didn't have his phone number, but I had his wife's, and I texted her, and she responded with, "I'll find him." Rusty shows up about 15 minutes later, and he had a look of shock on his face because he came in and he said, "My wife just chewed my ass." And Patty, every time, you know, Gina, you know that Red, my chocolate lab, is freaked out about weather.
Oh, yeah.
Thunder. It would always be Patty who would bring Red back after he would jump over into their yard thinking he could get away from it. So, Rusty, there is a big event. You were telling my wife last night, a big event this weekend in the world of NASCAR. What exactly is happening?
Oh, it's the All-Star Race this weekend, they call it, here in Charlotte, and it's Saturday night. And it's a non-points-paying event. It's all for the money. And they break it down in segments. It's first segment's 50 laps, the second one's 50, then the last segment is only 13 laps. And so basically what happens, everybody brings their best cars over there, and a lot of them bring their engines and cars that really don't have a lot of life into them because it's a short race, and so they just really turn the wick up on those motors.
Right.
I've seen a lot of engines blow up with, like, coming to the checkered flag. Some of them blow up like a lap before. I mean, they got a real short wick on them, I call it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a big, big race. And so there'll be a lot of people out there, and it pays over $1 million to win the thing. And
1 million to one driver.
That's right. Yeah, it's a big race. And so I won the race back in 1989. It was a huge race. I won $250,000 back then. And the whole infield was fighting because I ended up, me and Darrell Walter got into a wreck and I ended up spinning them out. And everybody was mad. So it's electric. It's crazy. I wouldn't doubt if there's fights and everybody's going nuts. And like I said, it doesn't pay any points. It's just all for the money and for the fans to see.
Now, we've got full phones. I'm going to get to those in just a minute. Have there ever been a story where one driver starts having an affair with another driver's wife? Has that ever happened?
I haven't heard that one. No. I haven't. You know, there's rumors of that type of stuff out there, you know.
But, you know it happens.
It happened to Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, Ricky Bobby. Okay.
Which, by the way, those of you that don't know, in Rusty, in my neighborhood, the house that was Ricky Bobby's house in the movie is two houses down from me.
Wow. The Kelly's house, right? That's what they call it?
Yeah.
Talladega Nights, yeah.
They lit that place all up and had all the scenes in there. I like the one scene where the kid goes, he said, "Man, you better not screw with me, old man. I'm all jacked up in Mountain Dew." He said, "I'll take you out."
All right, we got full phones. Let's go to Brendan. He's calling from Imperial. Brendan, you're on the air with Rusty Wallace.
Hey, Rusty, question for you.
Sure.
Hey, I'm a big off-road guy, and I thought it was pretty neat when you raced the old stadium super trucks out in Texas last year. What'd you think about those?
Man, I loved them. I loved them. I think about them all the time. We got a place that we go to in Mexico all the time, down in Cabo. So there's a lot of off-road stuff down there. And being down there a lot gets me jacked up about it. But I got a phone call from Robbie Gordon last year, and guys from ESPN wanted me to compete in X Games. And so I did. I went to Austin and drove those super trucks, and I got my butt kicked, man. And I even flipped the truck in the race. So I didn't do too good. But that didn't stop me from loving them. I really like it a lot. I went down to Cabo last year and watched the Baja 1000 end right there in San Jose. That was cool to watch that. But no, I'm a big fan of it. I like it a lot.
Who's the guy you were telling me about? He's apparently a big fan of mine. He's a dirt.
Oh, that's Walker Evans. Yeah, Walker Evans. He's one of the big off-road champions. He's probably one of the most famous off-road dudes in the world. It really is, Mark. And so he says, "Hey, man, let me ask you a question. I was out at California Speedway for the 400 out there this year, announcing it with the Motor Racing Network." And he comes up to me and says, "Now, tell me the truth." He said, "I listen to that show all the time. And Mark says, you're his next door neighbor." I said, "Walker, I am. I'm telling you, man. He's got a really cool studio at his house. And I just walked next door." And he goes, he said, "I'll be damned. I didn't believe that, man." He said, "That's pretty cool." He said, "I've been listening to Mark in the morning forever." And so, yeah, Walker Evans. That's the dude. Yeah.
All right. We've got a bunch of phone calls. And we'll come back and we'll take some of those. And I'll get you out of here, Rusty. But I want to hit that beat about that race this weekend. Are you going to cover the race?
Yeah, I am. I'll be on the Motor Racing Network. We'll be broadcasting on Sirius XM90.
All right, we will continue our conversation with NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace, and my next door neighbor is in studio. We're going to get these last few calls in and we'll get you out of here, Rusty. Wayne from San Dimas, you're on the air with Rusty Wallace.
Hey, good morning, Rusty.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, my question is, what's your take on this lug nut issue they got going on?
Man,
I'm sorry, let me cut in. Do not refer to Mark that way. He's a human being. He deserves your respect. Go ahead, Rusty.
Lug nut, okay, I got you. I think that was one of the craziest rules that NASCAR ever did, in my opinion. Mark, what they did. I can't believe they did this. So a lug nut, or a wheel's got five lug nuts on it, okay, in NASCAR.
Uh-huh.
NASCAR said, you know what? We're tired of policing you guys. So we don't care how many lug nuts are on the wheel at all when the race starts. You can, I mean, as a race is going on, you can do whatever you want. If the wheel falls off, it's your own problem. So what happened was these guys were purposely practicing at the shop, only putting four lug nuts on because they're trying to make the pit stops faster.
Right.
So they were making a pit stop like 11 seconds. Then they got it down to like 9 seconds. And so what happens, all the lug nuts are coming loose and the wheels are all getting loose and everybody's pitting on pit stops and everybody's screaming and hollering. And then some people are saying, well, what happens if a doggone tire falls off and it bounces up in the grandstands? And they're finally NASCAR said, you guys complained about the lug nut stuff to us that were over policing things. So now we said, heck with it. We got out of the deal. So now after all the complaining, in fact, the last big complaint was from Tony Stewart. He said, this is stupid. I can't even believe we've done this. And so the NASCAR says, okay, we're done with it. We're going back to the original rule. Now you got to have five lug nuts on, and they all got to be tight. And after the race is over, if somehow on that last pit stop you only got four tight, but that fifth one is on, but it's loose, you know, and that baby vibrates off as you're running, and you pull into victory lane, or there's one of them missing, we're going to penalize you. We're going to, you know, take points. We're going to do this and that. So it was stupid. I just think it was, you know, it wasn't stupid. It was just dumb. So they fixed it.
This is the first time I've listened to a 3-minute story about a lug nut.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Let's go to Brian. You're on the air with Rusty Wallace, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, huge fan, Rusty. You're a class act out there, man.
Thanks, man.
I love watching you race.
He's a butthole, though.
Out of the guys in the field now, which driving style reminds you the most of Dale Sr.?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Which one reminds me most of Dale Sr., the way the guy drives? Well, it used to be Tony Stewart. I mean, Stewart could drive basically anything, but somehow he's lost his mojo lately, man. He just can't seem to get it done. You know, he's been injured, broke his legs and all kind of stuff. And he was actually with me in Glamis, California, broke his back and missed the first 10 races of the season. Him and I were driving sand rails out in the desert, and he come across a mound and landed so hard it broke his back. And so he missed the Daytona 500, missed part of the year. But it was Stewart, the guy that was the closest. I try to think of somebody now that's like him. I really can't think of anybody. So I don't have a good answer for you.
So when you're racing, how many races did you win in your career?
55.
Good God.
Damn.
So you're in this fire suit. You've got a helmet on. You're strapped into this chair. And I know you don't have air conditioning in that car. How much weight can a driver lose on a hot day?
Well, the very most I've ever lost was at Darlington, South Carolina back in the day, and I lost 11 pounds that day.
Ooh!
Yeah, start of the race, 500-miler. It was about 100 degrees outside. And I tell you what, Mark, inside that car, those cars get about 160 degrees. You can actually put an egg on the floorboard. It'll fry an egg on the floorboard. That's how hot they get. But you talk about the air conditioner. What we do have is air-conditioned air that pumps in through the top of your helmet.
Oh.
And it just cools your face. So basically everybody's got that now. But, man, those things still get hot. They do. They get so hot it's unreal. But 11 pounds is what I lost.
Good God. All right, so let's hit this race this weekend. It's called the All-Star Race.
All-Star Race in Charlotte. It's Saturday night. It's all for the money and new points, and all hell's going to break loose. I just know it will.
And you're going to be covering it on Sirius?
Sirius XM. It'll be broadcasting Channel 90. But the Motor Racing Network has got over 500 affiliates. So if you don't get it there, you know, get it on one of your radio stations. But, yeah, I've been doing radio all year long. I've been really having a good time doing it.
Sounds like it.
Thanks, man.
Well, listen, we got to get the ladies out to dinner at some point.
I know. It's my fault, too. I mean, because you threw the offer up, and I just screwed around, and I come home. You know, have a glass of wine and watch TV, and then instead of going out having a good time with you.
Hey, Rusty, you like to drink? I drink a lot.
Yeah, I'm good at that. Okay, so when I leave, I'm going to go next door. I'm going to ask Patty if she's seen an airplane flying in the backyard. Let's see if we can find that. Sorry, it might be stuck in a bush somewhere out there.
All right, Rusty, good to see you, friend.
All right, man, thanks.
On the other side of business, we got to talk about this. When you get cheated on, how many details do you want to know? There's no gray. You either want every detail or you don't want to hear about it. That's right after Cheap Trick on Mark in the Morning.
You're cheating.
Now, we were talking about this three weeks ago, cheating. Gina and Mikey, you were both cheated on. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. When you found out, did you want to know all the details or none at all?
I had to know everything. To me, that was the only way to feel like I had any control over the situation.
Mikey?
No, I didn't want to know a thing, and I just wanted it to be over with.
Okay.
You think that's a gender thing?
Probably.
Huh.
It's there's no gray. You're either black or white in this. You either want to know everything or nothing.
Well, because you felt like you've been lied to for so long. Now it's time to start hearing some truths.
It says you found out your significant other cheated on you and it's painful. So why do we insist on learning every dirty detail? Licensed clinical therapist Lisa Breitman tells Women's Health, we convince ourselves that if we have all the details, we will somehow understand why this happened. She adds that people often want details because they're questioning their own sexual adequacy and trying to find out why their partner would choose this other person over themselves. The only information that's really important is if the cheating was a symptom of something wrong in the relationship, if the affair is over, and whether your partner is still talking to the other person.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if I was the cheater and my boyfriend wanted to know, I'd be like, come on, you don't want to know, trust me. But if on the other side, you're just like, well, where were you? How many times? What did she look like? What's going on?
Did you ever do it in our bed?
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah, well, I mean,
the nanny cam would have caught that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if it happened, I would, before I kicked her out, I would want to know every single thing that happened. How long? Did you love him? Did you do this? Did you do that? Yeah, I would want to know everything about him.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Gina's Trending is coming up right now. Creedence Clearwater Revival. This is Mark in the Morning. Let's look into the world of trending with Miss Gina Grant.
Well, thank you. The 9th annual ranking of the most and least fit cities based on the American Fitness Index has just been released from the American College of Sports Medicine and the Anthem Foundation. Coming in at, well, I don't know if I want to tell you number one yet. The top three fittest cities in America. Number three, Denver. Number two, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And what's your guess for the number one most fit city in the country?
Number one most, Seattle.
No, but that's a good guess. I was actually surprised at this just because you wouldn't think of it. D.C. Hmm. Washington, D.C. for the third year in a row, by the way, the most fit city in the country. And at the bottom of the list, we got a couple of cities. Louisville, Nashville, Memphis, and Oklahoma City rounded out the bottom of the list. What y'all doing over there? What's going on? Let's go. Stop playing some grab ass. Get exercising. Scientists say that the Earth's atmosphere is being destroyed by cows burping and gas passing. Did you know this, Mark?
I didn't look at the story, but I saw the headline.
Yeah, they used to try to explain this to us in biology in high school, that cow methane is like the thing that's destroying the ozone layer. So methane expelled by cattle is 21 times more harmful to the atmosphere than CO2. So in order to save the world, researchers in Denmark are feeding cows oregano just to see if it helps get the cow farts under control. I've had those. They are the worst. These are problems, though, that I don't know if we're going to fix, because oregano isn't cheap, and nobody's really sure how adding oregano to a cow's diet could affect the taste of your milk or your meat, but they're convinced in Denmark that oregano is somehow going to help the digestive system.
Now, there is something for dogs who eat their own crap.
Mm.
I don't remember what it is, cinnamon, something that you sprinkle on their food. And then when they crap it out, whatever that thing you put on it, it makes it untasty to them. Like a pile of crap could be ever tasty.
I thought the only way to eat crap is to sprinkle some cinnamon on it. This is all news to me. Oh, you love, Mikey, you watch House of Cards, right?
Yeah.
That's a, I did, and I forgot about it. I got to get back on board. Mark, I know your best buddy, Kevin Spacey, you want to get involved in watching that.
Yes, I'd love to.
Well, actress Robin Wright, who is known for her current role as the ruthless First Lady Claire Underwood on House of Cards, is demanding the same pay as Kevin Spacey, who plays her co-star, or she'll put the powers that be on blast. I kind of feel like she already did. But as Mikey, I don't know if you're up to date, but as the role has expanded and as they've taken the presidency, has her role gotten bigger?
Yeah, I'm not in season four yet. I'm halfway through three. But even in three, her role, I mean, I forget, she's like Secretary of State. She's some sort of diplomat. And yeah, her role has gotten really big.
Oh, come on. Pay the lady.
Yeah. Look, I'll be honest with you. As far as the world of inequality, I don't even know why that you could ever defend a woman being paid less for the same work as a guy.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't even know why it's a thing.
Well, I'd imagine at the very beginning when they were casting, it was probably, I would just assume, I don't know, I'm assuming harder to get Kevin Spacey on board than anybody else. So you gotta, you know, you gotta sprinkle the cinnamon on the crap, as it were. But now that their roles are more equal, you know, she'd like to be compensated. Can we make that a phrase? Yes. Is that the new Suthamacy?
Yes.
All right. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Van Halen. I don't know.
Suit them to seats.
So good. Oh.
Wraps it for our Thursday. We look forward, however, to the 10 at 10.
That was very nice. We have very exciting things today. We're celebrating the year that Magic Mountain opened.
Mm. Oh.
I have no idea.
And, you know, there was a huge birth explosion. Well, that's a parking lot situation later. 1971 is what we're featuring in the... Uncle Joe's 10 to 10 today. Oh, suddenly there's interest. What happened in the parking lot? Tell him, Mark.
Does it still stink at Magic Mountain?
No. Was that a thing?
Yeah, there was a period where they just weren't getting the trash out. It stunk to high heaven.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Tomorrow, first of all, Chick on the Street is going to be out and about. There was a survey taken. 1 in 10 people can name all 44 presidents by looking at their picture. I am not one. Cots on Chick on the Street's going to head out and check it out. We got us a Facebook feud, and we got Bob Saget. Mikey.
I need a storm, and I need a rider on it. No? Here's the Doors on Mark in the Morning.
What are you going to do?
That's right. A stretch, yeah.
Try it. The Mark in the Morning podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattress. Go to Casper.com and use the offer code Gina for $50 off your purchase.
Oh, sure, podcasting is great, but have you heard about this new invention that puts Mark in the Morning directly in your car each weekday morning? Yeah, it's called FM radio, and you'll find Mark in the Morning there on 100.3 FM in Southern California. Thanks for listening.